Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. The podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Kim Mitchell, a mental health advocate, veteran, and transformational leader dedicated to empowering individuals and businesses. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you, Tara. Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited. As you know, we were talking a bit earlier about your topic today. But before we do get started into that, let's talk about your leadership story a little bit. Why leadership? Where did you come from?
Well, Tara, my leadership journey started really in the Air Force. I came right out of high school and went in and served during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Wow. And I worked in vehicle maintenance, believe it or not.
Nice. So, good for you.
Being the only female, it was very interesting. So I learned a lot about structure, a lot about process, obviously accountability and responsibility. So when I got out of the military and went into the corporate world, it was a whole different ballgame. And I had to learn pretty quickly how things were going to work. I was working for Hart Harris RF Communications at the time and really got into computers because that was around the time when workstations were coming into the workforce and all of that technology, as you can imagine, was a new thing.
Yes, so, I remember those days.
Yes. So I developed a passion for training at that time and then took that to McDonnell Douglas, who later became Boeing. You can imagine the type of training initiatives across a company like Boeing. It was very varied, and tele-education was just coming online at that time. So I was very fortunate to be in places when technology and things were just coming online and building up my own experience. But I got out of there and went to Eagle Productivity Solutions, where we now are doing major rollouts like the Department of Finance for the government and the census project, the first ever digital census collection. We were training for that. So in that role, that was really my first leadership role where I was in charge of that. And it was scary because you are the first in there and it's all on you in terms of building that team and making that team successful. So I learned a lot in that role for about leadership. But I think my most transformative leadership experience was when I was hired to train to create a small business training program for the Rochester Schools Modernization Program, which is a $1.4 billion project. And we created something that was so successful that other municipalities are considering adopting it. So it was a full circle moment for that.
Yeah, you've had a lot of transition in your career for sure. And, you know, first of all, I applaud you for being that woman who is doing the mechanic side of things, because I come from trucking and transportation, as many of my listeners know, and there's not a lot of, you know, women in these industries doing those things. So it's nice to hear that. But let's talk about training today, because that is something you like to talk about. And I really want to know why that suddenly resonated with you. Why is that, you know, considering your background, what you just told us, why training?
Well, you really realize through all those transitions that education is the key. And one of the things I learned early in the military is you are the ranking system is designed for you to bring something forward from your previous rank. So you need to always be learning and then bringing that into the next role. When it comes to jobs and understanding how things are done and having teams that work together, training is imperative, because if you don't feel prepared, you can't show up as your best self. if you don't have people who are around you that are prepared, then the team can't perform. And it's really just information. Training is just information and being able to take that information and apply it to whatever role or task that has to be done. And watching the transformation once people have that information is incredible.
And you and I are big advocates for growth, learning, and training, obviously.
Yes.
And it's really important. And I like how you explain that this is, you know, how we learn, right? This is also how we grow and we develop into different roles. What are your thoughts about, like, why do some companies not provide their leaders training? I mean, a lot of leaders are, here's your new role, go, and they don't truly become a great leader. What are your thoughts around why companies don't provide that?
Oh, what a great question. I'm going to date myself a little bit here because I remember when I wasn't in the corporate world, but I remember when people were sort of tapped on the shoulder for management training tracks. And it was a huge part of corporate leadership is training. But I think pretty much three main reasons why that's no longer the reality. Is there is a very sink or swim mentality in corporate world right now that leaders are supposed to just intuitively know how to lead because they're good at their role. They may have performed well functionally, so they just get tossed into this leadership skill without, or excuse me, leadership path without developing the skill. Another reason is the money. When companies start cutting back, they don't see training as an investment. They see it as an expense. And then when things get tight, it's probably one of the first things to go. And what they don't understand is that untrained leaders are exponentially more expensive problems through these poor team management, high turnover, missed opportunities. And then third, they just don't understand what effective leadership looks like and how easy it is to attain through training. And so it's difficult for them to even design a pathway for effective and meaningful training for their leaders, which is crazy because proper leadership training will save those organizations time, money, and talent. It's such an important part of leadership.
Yes, I 100% agree, and I want to touch on a couple of points that you made is. And I deal with this with a lot of more small to medium-sized businesses, and maybe you do too, but they actually don't know what leadership means. And that's not anybody's fault. It's just maybe they started the business or they're hiring people and they don't know what to look for a leader or even what it means to be a true leader. So they don't get that training. So I'm glad you brought that up because it is something I hear about a lot. But also the mindset around things, about the investment. I thought that was a key point that you brought up. I find out so, especially when people are, you know, holding on to money right now, as I'm sure you're seeing as well, and people are saying it's expensive, but you hit the key word, it's investment. So we can stop the turnover because that's expensive. We can stop having to, you know, make mistakes. We can have people who lead a great team. Any thoughts on that going further?
Yeah, absolutely. Because as the upper level management starts to taper off, and they have had the benefit of that, I go back again to the military training. When you have senior ranking officials start to retire, you have the new leadership coming up behind them. If they're not equipped, then everyone behind them then becomes up in that dysfunctional pathway. And that's what co companies need to step back to say 5, 10, 15 years down the road, what is this company going to look like if we continue down this path? And I don't think enough companies are willing to sit down and take that look and understand that that bottom line number is tied directly to the training that their leaders have.
Oh, I 100% agree. I always say that if you want to have better profit or make better sales, you've got to be a great leader. And that means, you know, doing the development for yourself or for your other leaders in your team, if you're a leader of a leader, so to speak, and realizing these are investments. They're not They're not just money being thrown down the toilet. They really aren't. We're building what we need to build to grow. And in this day and age, we've got to stay ahead of the game, right? You know,
Absolutely.
it's a lot of competition right now. Let me ask you this. So, you know, we know some companies or leaders don't understand or are not supporting. They're just using the budget as a reason. What is it that as me, say, as a leader could do externally in order to help myself grow? Is it about further training and maybe what types of training we should look at? You know, how do we grow ourselves if our company's not able to do that or won't do that for us?
Yeah, that is probably one of the biggest takeaways that I got, because I did get a lot of training, a lot of in the fire training, so to speak, on the
Thrown in. Go
yes,
for it.
exactly. But I had to backfill that with my own training. And I will tell you that the company that I started, Emerald City Ventures, is built around that experience of filling my own cup, so to speak, so that I could be a better leader in my roles. So, as a new leader, if you're not being supported and you need that external training, I highly recommend that it starts with personal development and understanding who you are as a person. Because we are all people, even in our roles.
Yes,
And
absolutely.
that's right. You need to understand what your leadership style is, what you want it to be, what those blind spots are. Because I'll tell you again from personal experience, when I first got into a management role, I treated my team like I treated my family. And that's not always a good way to do that, because
No, yeah, you're right.
family dynamics are very different, as you can imagine.
They very much are, yes.
Exactly. So I had to learn that these people were not family, that they were looking to me to support them in ways that obviously my family wasn't. So I had to learn that skill and learn how to communicate and learn how to have the conversations and learn how to spot those trouble areas ahead of time and address them in the moment without being taking it personally. So that's one of the first things that I would say. Second, find a community of peers. Having a group around you that you can bounce ideas off of, who may be going through the same challenges you're going through, maybe new leaders, a mix of new leaders and seasoned leaders to kind of help guide you. That's going to be imperative, because when you're a new leader, it can feel very isolating when you feel like you should know something and you don't. And you want to be around people to kind of help fill those gaps and be comfortable to say, I don't know. And then they can help rally around you. And then have your personal learning system, because you can't help your team grow if you're not growing. And that
Agreed.
is education. Could be something as learning another language, learning a new skill, learning something that really builds up who you are. Reading, if you can't afford classes, there are tons of books on leadership, tons of books on how to have conversations. Podcasts are a great way to learn. So all of those things are a big part of filling your own cup.
And you know, it's interesting because I learn from all of my guests every single time, or I'm reminded of something about leadership. So you're right, even podcasts and books can be huge if you can't afford, you know, the big training or the big programs. I like that you did bring up the almost mentoring side of having those senior leaders help you out. And if you don't have mentoring in your company, there's lots of coaches and mentors out there that can assist you as well. So, yes, lots of external resources, which brings me to my thought about, you know, I've had leaders who say, well, my company doesn't believe in this, so why should I do it? And I always say to them, so that you can show them what it means to be a leader. And it doesn't mean that you're being rude or mean or anything. You're leading your team to be effective. And other people will start, even the leaders will start to see that and want to know, how the heck are you doing it? Right?
Right,
Yeah, for
exactly.
sure.
You want to build that culture in your team. Even if your
Yes.
company doesn't have the culture, your team can have the culture.
Exactly, right? And then hopefully others will see it. And others will wonder, how are you doing it, and ask you questions. And you can even do that reverse mentoring where you're showing your leader how you're doing
Exactly.
it. It's okay. And you're right. You mentioned earlier too, it's okay to ask for that help.
Yes.
It's completely okay. And if it's not your organization, find those communities, find those coaches, find those mentors that can support you. So
Absolutely.
if we're looking, going back to say an organization who, they don't have leadership training, but now they're thinking about it, what are some of the starting processes that they need to consider before they determine like who they're going to hire or how they're going to do it? But what do they need to consider around training, specifically for leaders?
Yes, that the first thing is to understand it needs to be a priority. It needs to be as much of a priority as any other initiative you have in your corporation. And you want to come into it with the idea of setting up your leaders for success. You want to literally, I can remember shows like Bewitched, where you had those levels of training and EP levels of manager. You had to shadow people before you could actually get that manager title. I think that would be a fantastic idea if you have someone, because not everyone wants to be a manager, believe it or not.
It's true. Yeah, very true.
Right. So you want to get them exposed and have them understand what it is, understand the people side of leadership and management, because the functional role they may have down, but they
Yeah.
don't understand how to interact with people, how to support people. And when you look at leadership, it's really a support role. My
Yes.
approach to every time I've been in a leadership position is to make the relationships higher up so that I can support and advocate for those that work for me. And
Absolutely. Yeah.
so as an organization, you have to have that structure in place. You have to allow that to flourish. Maybe create a program for 90 days. You're going to come in, and for 90 days, we have a structured program for you. We're going to have people you can shadow. We're going to have things that you can read and ingest and learn about the culture, learn about what that ladder looks like, and assign a mentor.
Yeah.
Have a peer connection, have a group of new leaders that can sit down and toss things across to each other and really hash out what's going on in the company and build that culture. And when you have that set up ahead of time, people want to join. People want to be
Yes.
part of that.
Becomes an engaging feeling, right?
Oh,
Like that's
absolutely.
their support for me.
That's
Exactly.
right.
I wonder what your thoughts are on this. So training. We do the initial training, we get it done. And in my corporate world, I was trained to be a leadership train the trainer. We went in, we did the training, but we didn't do it all at once so that there was time between and there was follow-up. A lot of companies, when they bring in leadership training, they do the training and it becomes a one and done checkbox. What are your thoughts around that?
Oh, my thoughts are that's a recipe for failure,
It
because
is, yeah.
training is ongoing. It's a process, and it's not something that you want to say, we're going to give you 2 hours to become your best self and then back to work. You want to make
Yeah.
sure that there's measurements involved, because if I'm trained and if I'm getting this, I want to be able to implement it and know how well I'm doing with that implementation. And then there needs to
Exactly.
be follow-up for that. So if I'm doing great, fantastic. What's the next role? What's the next level that you want to start preparing me for? If I'm not doing so great, how do you backfill and help me pick up those skills that I missed during that training? So that
Yeah.
training needs to be a culture. And that's one of the things that I think many companies, especially small businesses, are missing. And when I work with small businesses through my company, I always give the McDonald's example. I say McDonald's doesn't care how you make your French fries at home. They don't care how many people love your French fries when you have dinner. When you come to McDonald's, you make them the McDonald's way. And we
Yes.
train you to make them the McDonald's way. And the result is that no matter what city you go to, those fries always taste the same. And it
Yeah.
should be the same for corporations. You want to create a culture around that training. and build people to be those leaders that will carry that culture forward.
Yes, I love that. And when I did the leadership train, the trainer, we were a global organization. So there was about 10 of us, maybe 12, that came together to then go out and train the leaders exactly what we were trained on. So we could be very standardized. We could build that culture that you speak about, which is so important. And I do love that you say that culture, that this needs to be part of it, because it absolutely does. It's all about developing not just our leaders, but our team members too, so that we have that, as we mentioned, less turnover and higher profit. I mean, the CFOs and CEOs out there want to hear the numbers game. This will get it for you because you're
That's
keeping
right.
them trained and you're doing it ongoing and part of a culture. Something else
Exactly.
that I want to bring up that, man, you hit it for me, and this is something that I always tell people in my training is follow up, follow up, follow up. You know, the one and done, or even you do one and then a year later you do a, you know, another training, and then a year later you do another training, but there's no follow up in between or goals set around it for your new leaders, for example. It can literally go nowhere, and it could be, oh, got to go to Kim's, you know, new training session again. Where we want it to, as you said, be part of the culture. We want it to be something that we follow up on. We want it to be something we set goals around. So if we're trying to get those new leaders off on the right foot, how can we help them and how can we support them? We do the training, but what does the follow-up look like? What are your
Oh,
opinions on that?
my opinion is if it's not measured, it doesn't matter. You
Yeah.
have to start that training with those measurements and metrics in place. Because as a learner, I want to know what I'm striving for. I want to know when I go to this training, what am I expected to learn at the end? And what am I expected to do now differently? Because training is not changing behavior, it's not training. And
Yeah.
you want to know what that change in your behavior needs to be. So as a first standpoint is set those metrics up ahead of time.
And
Make sure
do you
they're
mind me
communicated.
asking? Sorry, don't mean to cut you off. I'm just
No, you're good.
wanting to, I'm curious, what are those metrics? What do you consider maybe the top three metrics that people should be considering when they're looking at this?
The first one is adoption. When I train, that's my first thing. What am I putting in place to make sure that workarounds don't happen, that people don't get the information and then just do halfway and not the other way? I want to know that whatever we're training on, especially when it comes to training leaders, that you are now a better leader. So I need to know what my goal is for you and how you're going to lead my team well before you even start your first day of training. The second one is going to be your personal markers, your goals as that person. Again, you come into the role as a person. So is your goal to be manager one, manager two, manager
Okay.
three? Is your what are your personal milestones that you want to have come out of that? And have I built that into this training? Is this training the right training for you based on those goals? And then third, when you're following up as a company, is how is this in fit into our long-term plan?
Right.
Are the outcomes of this training going to get our people to where they need to be within this culture and in our 5, 10 year plan? So if
Okay.
you've got to have those things laid out well before you even start developing the training.
All right. So then what's next? What's the rest of the pieces we would need?
And then once you've done those pieces, now you have to work on the people. Now it becomes a matter of who are the people that we want to have this training? Who are the people that are really going to embrace what we're trying to accomplish here with our company? Because as successful, it's like a symbiotic relationship. If our people are successful, our business is successful. If our business is successful, we can help our people become successful. So we have to have that framework in place. And I'm all about frameworks because the framework is really allowing people to have shortcomings that they need to work on and explore those, to have interests that they want to take into account into their role. We can sometimes, I mentioned before how my first leadership role, I treated people like family. And part of that shortcoming was that I often took things personally when people did not accomplish what I felt they needed to accomplish. And I came into it like a parent, do as I say, because my leadership is telling me this has to be done. So I'm telling you to do it. And then when you don't, then I'm taking that personally, and I give you the cold shoulder and don't treat you right, which is so wrong,
No, not a
so
leadership.
very
Yeah, you're right. But many leaders start there. They really do, because they want to be like, embraced by the team. They just
That's
give
right.
them, yeah, exactly. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. It was terrible. And, obviously the team didn't perform well. And it wasn't until I recognized that my role as a leader is support. I need to be in a position to support you in your success. So when you say what's next is from my higher up. If I'm that leader, my higher up needs to understand how to support me so that I can support them. And when I have, I would always tell the team, I work for you. What you need, I need to learn what I need from my higher ups to be able to get you the success that you want. And I had to change my perspective and believe that everyone wanted to come in and do their best work. When I did that for myself, I created joy as a baseline for myself. Then I was able to look at my team and say, what would happen if they found joy in their work? What would happen if they were able to craft, if we were able to work together to craft this role so that it brought them joy? And in order to do that, I had to know what brought them joy. And through that process and through that training, we were able to then turn it around and say, we may not be able to get 10 out of 10 things that we want, but what if we could get 6 out of 10? Would that be able to, would that get you to where you needed to be so that you could approach this role and this teamwork with joy? And then we built that culture from there. But that was again, so that was the foundation of the training. Then we were able to build it up from that point.
There's certainly a learning point here is that, and you and I will already know this, but for those who maybe don't, training isn't traditional, sit in a classroom, go to the workshop. Those are great. Don't get me wrong, right? Those are fabulous. But training goes well beyond that. Training is about things like you said, like culture building. Let's ask our employees what they need in order to grow. We don't
Yes.
always know, like you mentioned earlier, do they want to be the manager? Well, why don't we ask them first before we start determining that we're going to hit them on the shoulder and say, you're next, right?
Yes.
So,
Yes.
go ahead, go ahead.
I was just going to say that a lot of corporations think that retention is about compensation, but you can have the highest income and be miserable in your job. And if you're miserable in that job, you're not going to perform well, and the company's not going to perform well. I have personally taken roles that were tasty roles, really good roles for far less money than I was making before. But guess what? Because it was such a good role, because the company culture was such a good culture, because training was integrated in how that company operated, it didn't take long for me to get back to my salary that I had before because I was able to excel and grow and build that team.
So I know you and I could talk all day about this, but let's take that last point you said. What is that one piece of advice that you would leave our audience with around that?
I would say start with self. You really have to understand who you are, what you need in your role, what kind of leader you'd like to be, if you want to be a leader, and then how do I then go in and fill that yourself? Because regardless of what role, what company, what culture you're in, if you're able to funnel that into yourself and build your own training practice and your own training pathway, you will succeed wherever you go.
I 100% agree with that as well. I think you do need to start with yourself. And if you're not the greatest leader right now, that's okay. Because you're looking in, we're going to figure out what do you need? What's missing so that you can lead your team better? Absolutely. Thank you so much for an awesome conversation. If our audience did want to learn more about you or your business, how can they find you online?
Oh, great. Wonderful. Thank you. My website is kimm.co, kim.co. And I'm on socials as kimmdotco. So kim.co.
Love that. That's nice and easy to remember, too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kim, for sharing all the training and culture today and your experiences and tips. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, a thank you to our audience. We do hope you were able to gain some valuable information or tips about training from Kim today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, growth, and community are the way to move on your leadership journey, or perhaps you want to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.